this woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. 29. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him. And she had eaten her son. It came to pass, when the king heard the word of this woman, and he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elijah sat in the tower, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. When Peter, the messenger, came to him, he said to the elders, see how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door, and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master speak behind him. And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of thee. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?
Yes, please continue from chapter 7, read all of chapter 7 so that we can just begin
then
to.
Chapter 7, 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord also had the king lean outside the man of God, and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, like this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not be well. And there were 4 lepers there at the entrance, at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, and we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall not die. And they rose up in the twilight, go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come, to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was blood there. For the Lord had the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, even the noise of the great host, and they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried there silver, and gold, and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we mourn our hearts. We will tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, and the voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied, and the tents as they were. They called the porters, and they told him to the king's household. The king arose in the night, said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field. Say they, when they come out of the city, shall catch them alive and get into the city. 13. One of the servants answered and said, let's obtain, really, 5 of the horses that which are left in the city. Behold, we have, as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, we are even as the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. And they took therefore two chariot horses. And the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, with the Syrians had cast away their heads. The messengers returned and told the king. The people went out and saw the tent of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down. It came to pass that the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and the measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow, about this time, in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now, behold, if the Lord should make wind with the heaven, by such a thing. And he said, behold, thou shalt see that I shall be before God 20 years about. And so it fell out unto him. The people threw upon him the gate.
Hallelujah. I want everybody to just repeat after me. Can you just say, Heavenly Father, I will see the harvest, and I will eat of the harvest. I will not die, because I believe in the harvest that has been appointed by the Lord for this decade. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, my beloved people, it's my joy to be with you, and it's my joy to talk to you today on the theme of this meeting, which is Today Unto Tomorrow. And this scripture that we have read is the foundational scripture that is the anchor for these 3 days, today unto tomorrow. As you can see in this scripture, the Bible says from verse number 6 that the Syrian army had sieged Israel, just like the earth is under a siege. The truth is that we have come to the place, my beloved people, where there is a perplexity everywhere. The spirit of death is walking the earth like a human being and just slaughtering men anyhow. The nations are confused. The prophets are confused. Everyone is confused. And today, everyone is living in fear. Everybody is looking at the future with doom. Everybody is prophesying doom. The economics are prophesying doom. I will not blame anybody for that, because that is what it is. That is the implication of everything that is going on. But let me go back to the scripture. The Bible says in that 2 Kings chapter 6 that the Syrian army had sieged the people, and they sieged Israel, and the siege led to a famine, and the famine was so much that it got to the point that mothers began to donate their children for food. May that never happen in our generation, in Jesus' name. May that never happen in this future that is coming, in the name of Jesus. Now, and then he saw the king, and he asked the king that she needs help. And the king said, how can I help? He said, two of us, myself and another woman, agreed to give our child. I gave my child, and the next day she's hitting her child. And the king rent his clothes. I said he wanted to have the head of Elisha, and sent a messenger. And Elisha said, And I want to read that scripture. Today unto tomorrow. He said, then Elisha said, hear you the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord tomorrow. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned towards the man of God answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Today I prophesy unto you, and I prophesy unto your nations where you dwell. I declare in the name of Jesus an open heaven over you. I declare an open heaven over the churches, over the people that are called by the name of the Lord, over their families. I declare that the future from now, your tomorrow will walk under open heavens. Your now will dwell under open heavens. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Holy Father. Take all the glory and take all the honor. Now, when we talk about open heavens, you will notice, actually, when the man said, know you not that except it come to pass that the Lord will create an open heaven. He did not realize that he was actually answering the prayers of Elijah. Because my beloved people, when the heavens are opened over a man, an open heaven brings forth 2 things. Number one, it brings blessings from above. Number two, it represents judgment as well. An open heaven is like a two-way judgment. Now, the manner of blessings that comes with open heavens, according to the book of Malachi, I want someone to read for us the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Let me just use that as an example. Because from now onwards, each one of us will dwell under an open heaven. Now, somebody read for us Malachi chapter 3. Let me give you the exact verse. Savior, 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 hear my humble cry. Why on others thou art calling? Do not pass me by. Do not pass me by, Savior. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. My heart, why on others thou art calling? Do not pass me by. I want you to just open your mouth and begin to declare an open heaven. That your now, your tomorrow, your next tomorrow, the months of your years, all through the rest of this year will be an open heaven. That the months ahead, the years ahead, these 10 years, you make a covenant with the Lord that it will be the years of an open heaven. All things will relate to you by an open heaven. Begin to declare an open heaven. Begin to proclaim an open heaven, an open heaven. Open your mouth to prayer. Begin to declare an open heaven. Thank you, my Father. Now listen to me. Let me show you an example from Scripture of what an open heaven does. And that is exactly what happened when the time of visitation came. Now look at what I'm reading from verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me, here we said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When the heavens are opened over a man by the Lord for good, God pours down blessings and reverses in one moment everything that looked like a reproach. So when he said, except the Lord open the window of heaven. Now notice that at the time, according to the word of the Lord by the mouth of the prophet, I repeat, according to the mouth of the Lord, the word of the Lord, from the mouth of the prophet, the Bible says that there was a movement, and the movement was from the heavens. May you dwell under an open heaven. May this future that God is creating walk with you by an open heaven. May your heavens never be closed. May your heavens and the heavens of your children, the heavens of your family, remain open forever. May you operate under an open heaven. My Father, today, as part of the first pronouncement that we make as an everlasting decree, is that, Lord, each one that beareth your name, families that look unto you, that call upon your name, they will live and dwell under an open heaven. And that, Lord, you will bless them in the manner of the blessing that comes by an open heaven. Now, and listen, he said, in that Malachi, look at, let me read. He said, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Now, I decree, not only will your heavens be open, but the windows of heaven will be open to you. And that from the windows of heaven, the Lord will visit you. And the Lord will separate your lot and separate my lot, because we will live under an open heaven. Thank you, my Holy Father. Blessed be your name, our God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, how did this happen? Let's go back to that story again. Jehovah, let me read that verse 6 in chapter 7. He said, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. Everybody say, open heavens. Hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, no, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Now listen to me. A time had come, the seasons were about to change. And for God to change a season, the Bible says that there was a noise from heaven. That there was a noise from heaven. A noise from heaven. Listen to me, my beloved. One of the keys to controlling the future that God is betting, because right now God is reordering the earth, one of the keys that must follow first is a sound from heaven. Worship in this season, praise in this season must not depart from your mouth. Listen, my beloved. Everywhere you look, there is gloom. Everywhere you look, there is fear. But in the season of the fear of the world, it's supposed to be the season of the faith of the people of the Lord. And that's why you will notice that each time God came to a man of glory, for example, when he came to Joshua, he said, fear not. When he appears to Daniel, he said, fear not. You must not live in fear. Today unto tomorrow. I want to prophesy again to you that your tomorrow will walk under open heavens. And not only will your heavens be open, your tomorrow, your blessings will come from the windows of heaven. And by that, God will distinguish your lot from others in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now listen to me, my beloved. Having laid this foundation, how many of you know the man called Ezekiel? Let me read that scripture. I'm just trying to entice you or just draw you out. Today we're laying foundations. I want to draw you out a little bit so that you know the glory that is coming. Ezekiel chapter 1. The Bible says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Cheba, that the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God. Others, everybody, he was in the land of captivity, but he operated under an open heaven. And when he operated unto an open heaven, what did he find? He saw the visions of heaven. Listen to me, my beloved. While I began to meditate about all the things that are going on the earth, I hear the Lord say to me, he said, my son, my people have not understood who they are. He said, my son, this is the time for you to join forces with me and to join forces with the messengers of heaven who are creating history, who are reordering the earth in the land. It is not a time for you to despair. It is a time for you to look up and join forces with them to begin to reorder the earth. And he said, my son, know you not that you are gods? He said, know you not that you are gods? He said, do you not know that you are connected to the Elohim? You are a god. And it is given to you to order the earth and give the earth instruction. And the Lord said to me, he said, go tell the watchman. He said, go tell the people that are called by my name. Tell them not to allow what they see to become a veil over them. That they must look beyond what is going on. Because definitely the Lord will preserve you. He said, do not allow what you see today to become a blindfold to the glorious future that I have appointed for you. He said, therefore, my son, you will tell them how they ought to pray, what they ought to do, the posture that they must have in the now. And he said, the first posture from where they will arise, I'm laying foundation today. Tomorrow we're going to dig deeper. Now the first foundation from where they must begin is from the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah, amen, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, 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 hallelujah, amen. Oh, amen, hallelujah, oh, amen, hallelujah, oh, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Matthew chapter 16. I want to take us from verse 13. Matthew 16 from verse number 13. Jehovah Buonyoma Onyoma Onyoma Ame Jehovah Buonyoma Onyoma. The Bible says in verse 13, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. May the Father which is in heaven reveal things to you. May you not walk in the now by the ways of the men of the earth. May you walk by the ways of the Father in heaven. And by that, may you be called different in the earth.
By that, may the earth relate with you and relate with me in a different way. But let me push it further. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Beloved, this scripture is key for you, key for me, for the now and for the future that is beginning to form. I want to read this scripture, a particular verse. I want to read it in AMPC. And I'll just read verse 19. Look at that. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, and it has in bracket, declare to be improper and unlawful. I repeat. Whatever you bind, in bracket, declare to be improper and unlawful. The bracket closes on earth. Must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you lose, declare lawful on earth. Must be what is already loose in heaven. This is verse 19 of the same scripture. And I hear the Lord say to me, he said, do you not know that this mandate makes you a God? He said, do you not know that this mandate makes you a legislator? Do you not know that this mandate makes you a judge? It makes you a creator. Do you know who you are? Do you know that Christians are co-creators with God to change their environment, to rule the future, to control the future? Do you know the power that is behind these words? It's telling you it is in your power to make and unmake. And it's telling you that when you walk in this revelation, you will not be alone. The invisible realm from heaven shall come down to you. And when the invisible realm comes down and walks with you upon the earth, woe betide anything that stands in your way. And the Lord said, go tell my people that they should look into the future. They should not allow the events that are going on the earth to make them lose the focus of the promises that I have made them concerning this decade. The harvest I have promised them in this season. The blessings that have been spoken for this year 2020. He said, rather than despair, rather than live in fear, they should live in faith. What then is faith? What then really is faith? How does the Bible describe faith? Define faith. The Bible says, faith is what? The evidence of the things hoped for. Now, I don't need faith. I am looking, I can see myself on this Zoom now. I know I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. I know I'm talking to you. And I don't need faith for that. But I need faith for that which I don't see in the physical, but which I desire. And the Lord told me, he said, my son, do you not know that the dwelling of faith is actually the dwelling of reality? That every reality which we see today began first from the place of faith. He said, know you not that it's from the place of faith that the present world which you and I see came into being? He said, know you not that the same principle that I give you, that is called the operation of the keys of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, by which you can call out what is and it will become nothing, and by which you can call out which is not and it will come, makes you a God and makes you a creator. He said, do you not know it was the same principle that gave birth to all that you see? He said, therefore, go tell my people that rather than despair, they should remember that right now what is going on is like the earth and everything is coming to the place of zero. There is a reset God is resetting all things. Everything is being reset. He said, therefore, each man right now should put a stake for himself. Each man, I repeat, should put a stake for himself. Each man should be deliberate to look into the future. Each man should be deliberate to begin to declare what the future must appoint for them, what the future must bring for them. It's not a time to fear. It's a time to create your future. And that is why we're talking about look today unto tomorrow. Do not allow today to steal your tomorrow. Because your tomorrow is the place from where you will create that which you have seen. The question becomes, what do you see? What have you seen? What do you know? What have you seen for this tomorrow? What are your expectations? Are you just busy listening to the prophecies, the analysis of what is going to happen? Which will happen? The economies of the nations are going to fail. A famine will come upon the earth. But the famine is not appointed for you. What ought you to do? What you ought to do is to begin to create open heavens for yourself. What ought you to do? What you ought to do is to begin to create a future for yourself. How? You will operate the principle simply referred in scripture as the authority given to you by the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Notice, they didn't give them the keys of the kingdom of this earth. They gave them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what were they supposed to do with the keys of the kingdom of heaven? They were supposed to use the keys of heaven to establish portions for themselves upon the earth. Now, when we talk about the heavens, when we talk about these keys, and when the heavens descend upon the earth, what does it really mean? How? Do you know? Oh my God, listen to me. Do you know that the Lord God Almighty who gave you those keys, He's called the Lord of hosts. He's called the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Do you not know that the authority He has given you to legislate, to create, and to judge is such that when He tells you that when you judge, the heavens will hear you. He's telling you that everything He created will work with you. Listen to me. So what are we supposed to be doing? We are supposed to connect, to be connecting with the angels that the Lord God Almighty has assigned a responsibility to be at the forefront in reordering the earth. Right now, my beloved people, those angels are busy assigning and handing over portions to men. They are watching what we are doing, and according to how we understand is according to how they will assign to us. And I want to encourage you, my beloved, that this is not the time, I repeat, this is not the time to live in fear. Allow the coronavirus to blindfold you. Don't allow it to define your life in a negative way. You need to see hope in it. Now listen to me. Let me begin to summarize, because I want us to pray. Today is foundation, and tomorrow we're going to push it further. Now listen to me. What is going to happen? The economies of the nations are going to fail, yes. Businesses will collapse, yes. But in the same way they are collapsing, what will happen? New businesses will arise. New great men will come out. I want to prophesy to you that you're going to be the new people that will take over. There is a replacement army. One of the things God told me that is happening in them now, that He's using this situation to create, and by which He will change things and bring the fulfillment of prophecy, is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 22,
and I'm going to read it for you. Then we're going to begin to pray. And then tomorrow, we will begin to talk a little bit more and pray more. Isaiah chapter 22. Let me read from verse number 16. We're going to read from 16 to the end. 16 to the end. Today we're going to pray and I'll give instructions. He said, "What hast thou there? And whom hast thou here? That thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here. I see that heweth him out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station and from thy state, and I shall pull you down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim. I declare we are the Eliakims of this coming future. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe." Notice, a replacement army. "And I will strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government." There is a transfer right now. People, it's a season to hustle. To hustle to take over. It's not a season to fear. It's a season to put your stake. It's a season to look into the future. It's a season to take your mandate, to rise as a God. It's a season to begin to call forth from heaven the things that ought to be. It's a season that your eyes must see. Whatever your eyes must see, your mouth must proclaim it. You must prophesy it into being. You must covenant with God over it. You must institute it. You must call upon the angels. You must make the heavens come down to the earth to birth it. Look at scripture. "And I will commit thy government into his hand, and it shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder, and it shall open, and none shall shut." Now you can see the same key. The issue of decrees. "And I will fasten or for delay as in a sure place in this future that is coming. And I will fasten all every man that is listening here that will obey the command of the Lord. I will fasten their gifts. I will fasten their businesses in a sure place in this future. And I will hand over the glory upon them." Look at that. "And I'll fasten him as a sure nail in a sure place, and it shall be for a glorious one to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, and all vessels of small quantity, from the vessel of cups, even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, said the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed, and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it." Beloved, what am I trying to say to you? Words. Listen, my beloved. The earth will never be the same again. The world is changing. The things that are happening are creating situations akin to this scripture. There will be a falling down of many, and there will be a rising up of another set. And now, what am I saying to you that the Lord is saying? The Lord is saying, take your place. Carry your mantle. He said, "Do you not know that that Matthew chapter 16 has made you a God and given you all authority? Is it not amazing that in the year of the Spirit of the mouth, I'm speaking to you like this? That you should take words. You should see. You must have look into the future. It's not a time to lose hope. It's a time to live in hope. And I told you that living in hope is living the realm of the ordinary. Is living above the situations and the circumstances around you and rising to the invisible realm. And from the invisible realm, you begin to pull down the things which you believe ought to be, and you begin to assign portions to yourself.
That is how we ought to do. This is the time to connect with the angels. Now let me read one more scripture. Galatians chapter 3. When the heavens are open, when the Bible says, when you prophesy, when you decree, say, know you not that the keys are with you. I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read from, to make it short, 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore now, I'm laying emphasis on verse number 19. Look at what verse 19 says. Wherefore then served the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Listen to me. It is time for us to align with the invisible ones. The scrolls of the future, the scrolls of prophecy, are in the hand of angels. The messengers that know the way for the future, we must begin to connect with them. There is a war going now, because everything is coming to like it was in the days of Genesis, you know, the place of confusion. There is a void that is coming. Men must arise. Let me declare in summary. It's like we have come to the days of Isaiah chapter 60. There is darkness, there is death everywhere. Men are confused. The wisdoms of this world are come to nothing. It has become obvious to them that their wisdoms have come to nothing. And what do we now do? We must arise and shine. How do you arise and shine? I'm saying one of the ways to arise and shine is to take your mandate as a God. You're not an ordinary man. And do what? And begin to decree what the future must bet for you. You must have an eye on the future. You must not allow your today to become a veil over your tomorrow. Rather, you should allow the circumstance of this day make you see a better tomorrow. And then when you see the better tomorrow, you need to pull it down. And the tomorrow I'm talking about is a tomorrow that is founded on the word and the promise of the word. For example, the Bible says, I will shake the heavens and I will shake the earth. And when he finishes, and that the glory, everything will come to him. Then he simply just says, the next verse says, the gold and the silver is mine. The question is, what has gold and silver got to do with the shaking of the heavens and the earth? My beloved people, this is the time when God is about to redistribute power, redistribute wealth. God is about to raise mountains that will sit upon the mountains. So what ought you to be doing now? I'm going to give you an assignment. We're going to pray a prayer. Let me just put it this way. We're going to pray some prayers now. And those prayers is what you are going to pray in the day before we meet in the evening. And those prayers are number one. If you can write, you may write. If you're able to catch up. The prayers are founded on, the first scripture for it is Psalm chapter 68, 17 to 19. I'd like that Apostle Bola will quickly try to read that for us. Psalm chapter 68, 17 to 19. I'm giving you instructions. We're going to pray those prayers as the prayers for today.
and then we're going to take it up tomorrow.
On the last day, we're going to make a harvest covenant. We're going to enter into a covenant by which God will separate our portion and ensure that the harvest of the future will be ours. Is Apostle Bola out there?
Yes.
Psalm 68, 17 to 19.
17 to 19.
Yes.
The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the Holy Place. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them.
Now stop there, it's okay. That the Lord God might do what? Dwell amongst them. Now listen to me. You will tell the Lord that you commit everything about you back to Him. Your business, your knowledge, your intellect, your gift. Now, you ask Him to enter into, tell Him that by the blood of Jesus, you are asking Him to enter into a covenant with your gift. You're opening the door of your gift. You're opening the door of your business for Him to come and dwell in it. And that like the bowl of the widow, you're giving it to Him. That He will take of it and use it to fulfill prophecy. Which prophecy? Bola, read immediately. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Isaiah 2, verse 2.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills.
Now, you will begin to pray and ask God to use your business and to use the work of your hands, to use the dreams you have about your life to fulfill this prophecy. Now, in Micah chapter 4, this prophecy is revealed or repeated. But I want you, to read verse 4 of Micah chapter 4. Because part of the prayer you pray is that you're going to tell God to make your whatever you do to become a city of refuge. Now, the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. You are supposed to enter the future. You're supposed to begin to dedicate your business. You're supposed to sanctify your business. You're supposed to begin to tell the Lord, in this season when there will be a casting down of men, let it be the season of my rising up. It is a season of raising while the wicked are being plundered. There shall be a rising up. Listen to me. I have studied scripture. I have found that in the seasons of doom like this, in the seasons of famine like this, Israel always came out stronger. And I prophesy to you today, you will become stronger. Our businesses will become stronger. The second prayer you're going to pray all through the day, and we're going to seal these prayers tomorrow. Everybody, as you're coming tomorrow, you should have an anointing oil. Because at the end of the day, we're going to pray and you're going to anoint yourself. We're going to consecrate ourselves and our businesses. We're going to consecrate our dreams and our vision. This is the year of dream. You're supposed to be publishing your dream. You're supposed to be prophesying your dream into the being. You're supposed to be asking the angels that are reordering time, that are reordering portions, to begin to create to in this reorganization that is being better. That these your dreams will be the dreams that will rule the earth and control the earth. That's the kind of mind
God says I should tell you to have. I repeat, to fear in the now is an abomination. The only fear you should have now is the fear of the Lord. You must see glory. You must see the future. Daniel chapter 10. Point number two, prayer number two. You will ask the Lord.
Lift your voice and say,
I repeat, you will ask the Lord to attach angels or connect you to the angels to whom it is given to prepare the earth for what is to come. The angels that carry the scrolls, like we read in the book of Galatians chapter 3, the messengers that hold the scrolls, that the Lord should remove the veil between you and then let them come to you like they came to Daniel to teach Daniel the way. Now I'll tell you this story, maybe we'll read the scripture, but you can read on your own. In Daniel chapter 10, you remember, the Bible says that Daniel began to pray. Why did Daniel begin to pray? Daniel began to pray because Daniel understood that a set time had come. And that set time was a set time that forbade them from remaining in the house of bondage. It was the appointed time for them to move into liberty. But yet they were in bondage. And this liberty was a liberty that was approved of God. But they were in bondage. They were still in the house of bondage. And Daniel said, I understood by book. So what did he do? Daniel consecrated a fast. And as Daniel began to pray, what happened? The Bible says a prince from heaven left, called Gabriel. And as Gabriel was coming, Gabriel was resisted by what? The prince of Persia. And the prince of Persia withstood him for 21 days. They kept fighting. And then what happened? Daniel called for Michael. And today I declare that part of the angel that God will assign to each one of us is the angel that walks in the mold of Michael and in the mold of Gabriel, in the name of Jesus, that they will bear us and carry us into this future. That the angels who know the will and the mind of God, the angels that are busy reordering the earth, reassigning the earth, and appointing portions to men, that they will recognize us. And by this, they will not allot to us small portions. They will allot to us great portions in Jesus' name. Now look at that. Now listen to me. So what happened? The warfare began. Michael had to come, a warring angel, and together with Gabriel defeated what? The prince of Persia. And when, because of that access, listen to me, this is the time for you to make warfare, to begin to declare that every strong man, I repeat, every strong man that has been assigned by Satan against you, judge them. I repeat, every strong man, one of the things that Satan does, notice, who was the prince of Persia? It meant that the prince of Persia was responsible for still keeping them in bondage when they ought to be in liberty. So do not allow the things which you see now, for which God of a certainty will preserve you from, because none of you will die out of coronavirus. There is a future. There is a tomorrow beyond coronavirus. Can you set your eyes on that future? Do not allow the now become a blindfold. And don't look at the future. Which future? This future must be accompanied with a dream. This future must be accompanied with a dream, a vision. And then what? You need to now begin to proclaim. You need to become a creator. You need to begin to execute the mandate given to you in that Matthew chapter 16 as a God. You must join forces with the angels. You must join forces with creation to begin to declare that way be made for your dream to rule the seasons ahead. Because I assure you, there will be a casting down of many. There will be a casting down of kings. There will be a casting down of rulers. There will be a collapsing of kings without kingdoms. Who are kings without kingdoms? Mighty men of wealth are going to be cast down. But who will take over? Who is going to take over? I prophesy that you and I will take over. So, attached to Daniel chapter 10 is Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The one that it says time and chance. You need to begin to prophesy that time and chance will happen to you in pleasant places. You must fight and tell the Lord to send an angel to throw down anything that will stand in the way. Anything, a human being that wants to become a stumbling block, anoint the earth to take away that one. This is the time to invite the messengers of vengeance, the wrathful angels of the Lord to clear road for you. Because in this season, you and I must become the mountain of the Lord that will take over the mountains. And that's why I keep saying to you, fear not. Fear not. I repeat, until you bind a strong man, you cannot plunder. It's a season of harvest. You must make sound. You must move the heavens. I'm trying not to for us to make the time too long. But I encourage you to go and read the book of Revelation chapter 21. He said, and heaven came down. You need to bring the heavens down. And with the heavens, I don't know how to put it. You know, it's like, you know, it's a chess game. You need to win this battle. You need to reorder it. It's the time to appoint portions. What must be? This is what this season must bring for me. Don't allow what you see. Don't allow the spirit of death that is walking the land to define your life. We're not bound. We don't have, it is not our lot. It is not your lot. It is not my lot. So you must ask God to attach those angels to bear you. And then you must go to war against every strong man that stands in the way. You must cast them down. You must begin to create portions for yourself. Tomorrow, I repeat, come with an anointing oil. Because tomorrow, one of the things we're going to do is that we're going to, at the end of the day, consecrate ourselves and consecrate our portion. Tomorrow, what do you really want? What future do you see for yourself? What dreams do you have? Make sure that you pray those dreams, prophesy those dreams over the oil. And then tomorrow we're going to anoint ourselves, and then we're going to anoint the earth, and we're going to tell the Lamb to carry us and make a way for us. And we will see the great and mighty things which this our God will do for us. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let's read Acts chapter 16, verse 16. That's the prayer we're going to pray. I will leave you with the other ones, and you will pray it as a prayer. You will pray them all through the day, tomorrow. But I want us to pray a particular prayer. I want us to attack witchcraft. Acts chapter 16, I want someone to read for me. Verse 16. Then I'm going to just speak a blessing over you. Because your portion will be different from others. Yes. Start here, read from 16.
And it came to pass that when to pray, certain days are possessed with the spirit of divination. We brought our master to the person saying,
keep reading.
They had lived. charging the jailer to keep them safe. Who, after such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast the stones.
Praise God. Now, I took you to this scripture because there is going to be a war. And not even there is going to be a war. There is a war ongoing, but many men are not aware. Right now, people by covenant are invoking spirits to help them to secure the future. What are you doing? The little damsel was not operating by the Spirit of the Lord. That was a girl that was possessed by the spirit of divination. It was Satan speaking through her, the dragon.